Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Thank you, musicians, for your ministry. And I want to give a big shout out today to Iglesia Una Fe, otherwise known as One Faith Church, on 1200 Roberts Cutoff. Does that sound familiar to some of you? That was our old address. And as they have been gathered in our old facilities and taking it to the maximum for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ministering there, they have a wonderful sound engineer. He's very, very good at sound engineering. He came and spent 4 hours with Cameron and I on Friday just working through our system, because it's a brand new system, and tuning and doing all kinds of things and helping us to go to a whole new level. So I just want to say thank you, Brother David Villa at Iglesia Una Fe, a sound engineer, for coming and helping us and pouring yourself into Vision Church of the Assemblies of God. Would you all give him a hand? Maybe he's watching by video. Yeah. They are known to creep on the internet. You know what that means? They watch you and you don't have any idea they're watching. And so, that sounds so negative, but it's such a good thing to have people. And all of you that are creeping today on Facebook, we're glad you're here. And later you'll see us on YouTube. Oh, we got a little bit of a ring. Hearing some ring, we need to come down in the room. All right. Let's see. I'm not sure if I... Yeah, I'm hearing myself here. All right. One thing I wanted to straighten up is that there was issued a very humble correction. Pastor Cindy said, no, it's not the Sunday after next Sunday. It is next Sunday that we're going to be doing that. I cut my eyes over to Brother Matt. He swallowed his tongue and started passing out in the chair because he works real hard on doing our announcements and making sure everything is just so and just right. And then when we throw them a huge curve like that, it's like, where did that come from? And let me say this to the guys. We're also going to be meeting. And be sure to study in the book of Genesis, the first couple chapters. Look at the story and the history of Cain and Abel. And so we're going to be digging into that as we look at seeing me in the men of the Bible. And when you look in the Bible, let's just get rid of the idea that these people are all high and lifted up. No. They are scoundrels and rascals that the Lord finds and then pours His grace into them, which means He can find a rascal and a scoundrel and turn them into a great disciple and a great apostle. You believe He can take a murderer and make them an apostle of the church? Yes. Only God can do that. By His grace and to His glory. Amen. And so I just want to encourage you men to do that. Come at 4 o'clock. The wives will be over there and the men will be over here. It's well air conditioned. We have coffee available, drinks that are available for you. And it'll be a great time of sharing in the Word. But get ready by getting into Genesis and get ready by getting a book. Right, Pastor Cindy? Get with Pastor Cindy, ladies, and get that book so you can be a part of that study. We're going to be going into part two. Sometimes I get very optimistic and said, oh, I think we can get through that. And then I get into the message and go, uh-oh, we just couldn't get through that. And I'll apologize. It should have been more like 4 points last week and 3 points this week. We got out on time, so that can't be a much of a complaint. But now you got 5 and 2, and some of you that like a little bit more of, well, couldn't have been 4 and 3, I agree with you. And part of something inside of me is saying, oh, it should have been 4 and then 3. That would have been a much better deal. But what we've also do is we're in 14 days of devotional, 2 7-day periods, where we're walking through this devotionally. And so be sure to make yourself available to YouTube at any time of the day or night. It's there. It's recorded in there and in Facebook. And you can get it that day or the day before that, or the day after that. That would be really good if you could see it the day before. If you can see that, let me know. We need room for prophets in the church. And so we'd like to do that. But nevertheless, we get to walk through. This is going to be a 14-day journey, tour, through the 23rd Psalm, that Shepherd's Psalm. Most people know about the Shepherd's Psalm. My concern is there's people who know the Shepherd's Psalm that do not know the Shepherd. Right. Let me say that again. There's people who know the Shepherd's Psalm and know about the Shepherd's Psalm, but they don't know the Shepherd. Yes, sir.
And what we're interested in here at Vision Church, and what God is interested here in His heavens and in His presence, is people coming to know Him. Jesus said that they might know Him and the one that He has sent. Wow, that we can know Him. And then we can become the children, the sheep of His pasture. And what wonderful care He lays upon His sheep. Amen? How many of you are glad you're part of the sheepfold of God? Amen? Why don't you put your hands together in a clap of praise? Hallelujah. So we're going to move on to the conclusion, seven things the Lord does for His sheep. And I want to pick it up from the top, at least reading that passage of Scripture, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Now, when I was a kid, here's what I heard, because I memorized and heard all the time the King James Version. Yep. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I always thought, that's confusing. As a little kid, why don't I want Him? Why don't I want Him? Why don't I want Him in my life? Don't I want Him? And it took somebody to explain to me, well, that's what it says in the King James English, and this is what it means. But really, let's look at the dictionary here and figure this out. This means, I will want for nothing. And I like how this is translated here, I lack nothing. Isn't He great? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Present tense. I lack nothing. It's all there. And I would encourage you to go to the last week's Wise and Wonderful. Pastor Steve and I were able to have a talk, discussion back and forth about how much God has already done for us and how much is already present. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And if you've ever tried to make a sheep lay down, you know that's a very difficult thing to do. But He causes me to want to lie down in green pastures. He does something on the inside of that sheep and brings them into a lying down position because they're at peace and ready to rest. They're calm. He leads me beside quiet waters. Rushing waters frighten the sheep, but quiet waters assure them and soothe them and let them know, we have plenty of water supply. You're not going to be thirsty. He refreshes or restores my soul. Aren't you glad He's in the restoration business? How many of you have ever messed up your soul? I remember Macaulay Culkin in the Home Alone series. And I think his favorite movie, or at least the movie he was playing on the TV, a little movie trivia, was Angels with Filthy Souls. Which is not really a movie, just made up. But I always just laughed when I saw that title, Angels with Filthy Souls. Well, there are human beings with filthy souls. The world has a way of throwing filth on us. Have you ever noticed that? When you get around certain people, you just get stuff thrown on you. And it's not pretty. It comes out of their mouth. It comes out of their hand. It comes out of their activities. It comes out of the atmospherics. It comes out of their attitude. And there are some people, isn't that interesting? You can be around a certain person and they lift you. And you can be around another person and they drag you down. You can be around one person and you want to do well with them and do good. And you're around another person and all of a sudden the mischievousness and conniving spirit comes out to play. And I had a friend that lived next door to me that if anybody on this planet could get me in trouble, he could. I had resilience about almost anybody else on God's green earth. If they said, let's go do this, I'd say no. But all he would have to do is look at me a certain way. Wanna? And I was like, let's go. And eventually, it became a spiritual crisis for me. And I had to have a discussion with him and say, look, I love you. You're my friend. I love to spend time with you. But you have more influence on me than I have on you. And it's not good. And so I can't hang out with you anymore. That was a tough conversation to have with a dear friend. Why? Because I found out that when I was around, he had a way of throwing filth on my soul. He did. Now, it turns out later, he spent some time in the penitentiary. I'm telling you. Hand on my Bible. I'm telling you the truth. And I thought, very often, if I would have hung with him, I could have had a record. I could have started prison ministry early. I could have had a real powerful testimony, folks. You could have a pastor, you know, that had this all deep, dark past and would draw in hundreds of people just to hear about his deep, dark past. No. But I'm so thankful to the Lord that He spared me. and I had an opportunity there to get a really filthy soul. And I'm so grateful for the shepherd who did what? He convicted me. He drew me aside to himself. And what did he do? He restored my soul. Aren't you glad for a shepherd that restores your soul? Why don't you put your hands together and applaud him? Lord, I thank you. You restore the soul. Now, he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. If you're going to walk with Jesus, I'll tell you what will happen. He'll make you right. Yes, sir. He will turn you around. He'll find you right where you are, and he will come find you there because he loves you. But he loves you too much to leave you on that path. Aren't you glad? And he will turn you around and bring you out of that miry clay, out of that depravity, out of that darkness. And he'll begin to exercise a presence and pressure in your life and say, come on, let's go with me. Let's go. We can almost hear that. Let's go with me to my Father's house. Let's go on a road that I know that you don't know. And this road goes higher, it gets lighter, it gets better, it gets richer, it gets more abundant, it gets more free. And I'm going to lead you out of darkness and into my glorious light. Give the Lord a hand clap right there. That's great news. Yes. If nothing else, it wakes up your neighbor who was starting to settle in real comfortable in their chair. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We heard last week about how he takes his rod and he has a standard and the sheep have to jump over it and he can detect. It's his limp detector. He not only counts and numbers the sheep, he knows them by their walk and their gait. You know, isn't that an amazing thing, even with human beings, with all these masks especially? Now we're left with people's eyes and how they walk and how they carry themselves to be identifiers to that person. And there are certain people that have a certain characteristic walk, and you can see them at a distance, say, I know who that is, that's sister so-and-so. I know who that is, that's brother so-and-so. How do you know? Because of the way they carry themselves, their body language. Don't you know Jesus knows your body language? He knows you even wearing a mask in COVID-19. He knows, even under the cover of darkness, he knows. And so he puts that rod out there. And as you come by him and he inspects you, he can see if there's a limp. He can see if there's any problem. He can part the fur and he can go way down into the depths between the joint and the marrow, between the soul and the spirit. And he can discern with that rod of his word right down into the depths. But wait, there's more. He also can take that staff and lay that staff on you, which is not a beating. But it's him saying, I'm here. It's that nudge of the Holy Spirit who says, even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because I'm with you. Yes. Where can I go from your presence is what the psalmist David said. And the answer is nowhere. There is nowhere on the face of God's green earth, nowhere in eternity, nowhere that you can go from his presence. He is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And here's some wonderful news. When you're down in the bramble bush, down in the ravine, when you have gotten your soul filthy and you've tumbled headlong into destruction and despair, no matter how low you have found yourself and how backslidden you may find yourself, there is a crook of a staff that can reach seemingly out of nowhere and hook you and pick you up out of that condition and set your feet back on stable ground and clean you up. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? That is great news. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll fear no evil because you are with me. And now we need to move on towards the conclusion today. Some of you are saying, he's going to preach it again. No. Just took a couple minutes. My goodness. Here we go. You prepare a table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God loves to prepare things. Now, there's a twofold movement that you can see in creation. I'm not asking you to turn there, but you can go to the book of Genesis and you can pick up on this if you look at Genesis 1 and Genesis number 2. You pick up on this idea that, first of all, God speaks and he says he creates the heavens and the earth. Yes. What's going on there? He's creating the periodic table of the elements. Yes, sir. He's speaking the particulate matter of atomic and subatomic particles. And what is it? It's nondescript. It's called void and empty. Without description, it is simply stuff. You ever seen just stuff? If you ever go to White Sands, New Mexico, you'll see a lot of stuff. It's all white and it's sand. If you go to the sands of Panama City or Destin, beautiful white sand, but it's just a lot of sand. And one particulate piece of sand doesn't vary that much from the other. But I'll tell you, have you ever seen people who can go out there and build sculptures in the sand? Now that's the picture. So God speaks into order this periodic table of the elements, and then this is what he does. The next word that's there is he forms and shapes. He shapes us in our mother's womb. He forms us. He builds us. So he takes this indiscriminate, seemingly unrelated, all the same stuff with subtle differences and nuances, and by his word, he puts it together, and when he gets done, he builds molecules and strings and proteins, and when he gets done, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and he builds quasars, he builds galaxies, he builds these things, and he does them by forming them by his word and shaping them so that they take a specific shape, and he knows your shape, and he has built you a certain way, and you are there for the glory and the honor of God. Would you just thank him for that right now? Yeah. This is that idea of preparation. You prepare a table. God loves to prepare things. Now, if we're not careful, we could read it easier this way. And God just spoke and a table appeared. No. He could do that. But what does he do? He involves himself in the servant position of humility. And he comes and he specifically prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies with me in mind and everything that it is that I need in order to deal with my enemies. Amen? Now, there's a beautiful picture in the pasture land that he says, as we move to this idea, it's called the mountaintop. We're going to skip on past that one slide and go right to mountaintop there. I think it's slide number 6. There we go. Everybody say mountaintop. The flock is led higher up into the mountains through the valleys. Now, how many of you have ever been through a valley? How many of you have ever felt the Lord taking you on an uphill climb? How many of you have been on a physical uphill climb? Now, I used to live near the Sandia Mountains in New Mexico. And I would go up the Switchback Trail and walk all the way to the top and then back to the bottom. And there were people in the area who would run up that trail and back and set world records. People would come from all over the world to run that trail up to the top of the Sandia Mountain from roughly an elevation of 7,000 feet to 12,700 feet, a rise of a mile. Now, it's already hard to breathe at 7,000 feet, but try running at 12,007. Not very good, but this is how they train for marathons. And so I was inspired by that. Now, I didn't actually go try to run it, but I did frequently walk it. And I'll tell you what my favorite part was. Getting to the top and walking down. Right. Let me tell you the part I hated. When it compared to the other two things, and that was walking up. Switchback trails, back and forth, finding myself in a valley, taking a steep turn in the path, and it's like my calves are burning, my thighs are burning, there's things burning in my body I've never felt burning in my body. My lungs are burning. My eyes are burning from the sweat, and this is not very pleasant, but I'll tell you what, when you broke through the top and got to the very top of that mountain and could see that expanse, it was all worth it, buddy. You could sit there and sit on the rock, sit there, dangle your feet off of an edge of a cliff, and you could sit there and see that beautiful creation of the devastation after the flood of Noah and the reminder that God did not destroy the earth completely, but he saved a remnant, and he's in the salvation business. So as we're moving through our experiences through the valley, as we're following the shepherd, bear this in mind. He has a mountaintop experience for you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, he has a mountaintop experience for you. He's leading us to a mountaintop. We have to go through the valleys. We have to go the switchback trails. But the flock is led higher up into the mountains through the valleys, and he finds a mesa. Those of us that speak some Spanish, those of us that live in the Southwest, we refer to tabletop mountains as mesas. In several languages, they use that word to refer to. It's a tabletop. And you know what's amazing? Very often on the top of those tabletops, there's grass, and there is rainfall that has fallen, and people have actually lived up there. They've taken flocks up there, and but there's a tough climb. Those mountain goats really have to do some serious climbing to get to those mesas, but up there they find fresh grass, green grass, and safety from their predators. They're safe. The flock is led to this to stay for a while. Don't you love the idea of a mountaintop experience that lasts for a while? Amen? How many of you need a mountaintop experience? Right about now in all this COVID-19, don't we need a mountaintop experience? Yeah. As we're following the shepherd, here's what he's doing. He's going up and he's clearing out the harmful plants. While we're on the journey, he's gone ahead. He knows what he's done. He knows that we like to eat. So what he does is he prepares a place. What does that mean? He gets rid of the harmful stuff. He deals with it. At the cross of Calvary, he's dealt with the harmful stuff. By the power and authority of his word and by the power of his resurrection, he has dealt with the harmful stuff. In fact, there's nothing more harmful than death. Amen? Great understatement of the year. Nothing more harmful than death. But what did he say? I am he who was dead, and now I am alive forevermore. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He clears out the things that would otherwise take us out or make us sick. He backs off all the fierce predators, or he traps them. He has taken on the grave and he has beaten it. He has taken on Lucifer himself and he has beaten it. There is not an archangel, there is not a creation in God's heaven that has fallen that is big enough, strong enough, smart enough to take on the great shepherd. He has taken them all on. They have all pounced on him and he has won it. He is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. And then he does this. He cleans out the watering places, the places that have fallen in, the places that have been neglected, and he brings to us fresh bubbling up springs of water. That when we get to that place where he has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies, he has taken care of everything, and we even have a water supply in the middle of this lush grass. It's quiet water because we have a great shepherd and he values the mountaintop experience. And let me tell you what you do with a mountaintop experience. Enjoy it as long as it lasts and drink all the water you can and eat all the grass you can and get as close to the shepherd as you can, because at the end of that mountaintop experience, he has some other valleys that he needs to walk you through. Amen? Some of you went, oh, rats. Pastor Doug, you had me at the mountaintop. But I'm here to tell you, it is a journey to the next, through the next valleys and down through some places and some pruning experiences, because he's looking at you and he's saying, hang in there with me, because I know another mountaintop experience. I know another mesa. I know another place. I've already prepared it for you. I've already defeated all the predators. I've taken on death, hell, and the grave. But you and me are going to have to walk, and you're going to have to trust me. We're going to go through some tough places. We're going to go up through some inclines. But I have prepared for you a table in the presence of your enemies. Amen. Hallelujah. He cleans it out, and he makes it ready for us. Listen to what he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, before we go to that final point of this message. How do you like that? Just 2 points. Some of you say, I can't believe it. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. He's been through every valley. He's been through every despondency. He's been through every despair. He's been through every ounce of abandonment. He came to his own and his own received him not. He was rejected, despised by men and afflicted. We did esteem him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Ah, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. What great news! He is a great high priest, and he empathizes completely. And when he, I want to tell you something, when our great shepherd prepares a table for you, he really prepares a table for you. Amen? We're not talking the one I would prepare. Flimsy paper plates, easily breakable plastic forks, and flimsy blown away in the wind cups. No, no, no. No, he sets the table and you have gold silverware. You have the finest china and you have the finest cuts of meat or beef or veggies or whatever it is you prefer in your diet. He knows how to prepare a place for you and he says, come and dine. I have prepared a place for you. I've got a mountaintop experience for you. I've got a place of fatness, a place of rest, a place of indulgence in me. Doesn't it make you want to just go and find that mountaintop?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Every provision is made. Grace has gone before us, and even in the presence of our enemy, we are in superabundance. But remember, he calls us higher. He calls us higher. He calls us higher. He calls us up. He moves us from where we naturally are to where we supernaturally can be. He is in the movement business. Now, he anoints the head with oil. Anoints. Now, flies are one of the greatest fears of sheep. The ears and nose are a target for winged parasites. They come and they land their eggs in the moisture of the ear and the moisture of the nose. And then the larvae. That's nice to say larvae. Because if I didn't say larvae, I'd say worms. Those larvae crawl deeper into the sheep's head and can make them miserable. They literally begin to live in the sheep's head. Infected sheep bang their heads on rocks. They're not just listening to rock and roll, I'm just telling you. And posts, or just wildly shake their head because they are vexed. And we see Jesus walking around the shores of Galilee and encountering sheep that have been afflicted, that have been pushed away from the shepherd, have fallen under the hands of bad shepherds. And when he comes to them, he sees them going as if they don't have a shepherd. And he notices this, that they're vexed by the enemy. Now, what are we talking about here? There's a great analogy here, I think, to what happens in our life. The enemy, when the enemy comes to a person, do you know how it all starts every time? This is how the demoniac of Gadara got his start. This is how Mary of Magdala got her start. This is how Joanna got her start. Every demoniac you witness in Scripture, and any demoniac you ever see on God's green earth, if you ever run across that, some of you say, I think I work with some. I'll tell you how it all started. It all started with the smallest idea of a threat, of fear, of intimidation, and of a lie. It was planted in their ear and began to live in their head. That's exactly how the enemy works. He comes and says, half God said? Has God really said that? And a question mark forms where God has put a period or an exclamation point. And the enemy bends that exclamation point into a question mark, and we find ourselves, well, I guess he doesn't really love me. He must be really mad at me. God must hate my guts. God must be looking for a way to throw me out of his kingdom. God must be looking for a reason to turn his back on me. And I'm telling you, every vexed and concerned person on the face of the earth, everyone that the enemy is running roughshod over, it began with the smallest mite of a thought and began to find fertile soil in their thinking and then became a larva and then began to embed in them and then it began to run their life. Welcome to the beginnings of the Gadarene demoniac. Well, Pastor, you're saying that we're all demon-possessed if we have a bad thought. No! But I am going to tell you that every infected sheep began with a fly landing on its nose or landing on its ear. Now, I think that it is so interesting. How many of you like to know the cure for this? He anoints my head with what?
Oil.
Now, first of all, when we practice anointing in the American church, we take the word anoint and we think like this. The smallest dab. Right? The smallest dab. And so we have a polite little bottle of oil and we do this. Now we got oil. Now, I'm not mocking this, folks. I'm just saying that if we're not careful, we restrict our thinking to this. And then someone lays a finger on me and prays, and then I feel that little after dot of oil on my forehead because that oil's been put on me, and I know the difference between oil being on me and something else. And I'm hoping that's a great, and more than importantly, I'm praying that the anointing of the Holy Spirit come heavily upon you. And that healing and deliverance and powerful things might happen in your life. But we symbolize it with that. And so as a result, when we read this, anoints my head with oil, we see it in these terms. Dab on the ear. Dab on the nose. No, 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 no. In the Bible, when you get anointed, someone takes a cruse of oil. It could be as much as a quart. Fine olive oil. And when a king was anointed, you know what the priest did? He walked up and dumped that over his head and it ran down. Just imagine Quaker State 10W30 running down over your head and down over your clothes and all the way to the ground and soaking your clothes. And immediately you would be thinking, if I anointed you with oil this morning, you would be thinking, my clothes are ruined. The carpet's going to be ruined. Look, Pastor, what did you do? You dumped all that olive oil on me. Say, I'm just anointing you in the name of the Lord. Because the priest was saying, you have got to be soaked and utterly inundated with the presence of the Holy Spirit, O King, in order to do this job. It can't be you. It's got to be God. The next prophet has got to be anointed. He can't take a dab just on the middle of his forehead. He's going to have a cruse of oil dumped over him, matting down his beard, soaking his clothes, and forever staining those garments that they've been touched with this extra fine olive oil that's been refined. I want to tell you something. He's in the anointing business. The great shepherd knows that that littlest thing that the enemy is doing doesn't need a little dab to do you. What you need is a heavy anointing to fall on you to counteract what the enemy is up to. Amen? And here's what the shepherd does. He takes oil and he mixes it with sulfur and spices, and it's poured upon the sheep's head to frustrate the attempt of the flies. Now I want to add this other thing. Jesus referred to Lucifer as Beelzebul in the New Testament. Know what it means? The Lord of the manure flies. So he was insulting the enemy. And he was showing us that it's about the flies. Don't underestimate that fly, because sheep hate flies. Cattle hate flies. Horses hate flies, but especially sheep, because they can be driven to madness because of the successful mission of a fly. And I'm here to tell you something. You get in the presence of Jesus, you get close to the great shepherd, and I'll tell you what he wants to do. He wants to pour an anointing over you. And well, here's why he puts sulfur in it. How many of you know that sulfur and brimstone is not a good image? But sulfur sure is a reminder to the enemy to where he's going. Hello? There is a lake of fire that burns, a lake of sulfur and brimstone, and it's a picture of judgment.
Yes, sir.
And so Jesus wants to anoint you and leave an after odor that every demon around you can smell in an instant, and that is the wonderful anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon this life. But there's a reminder that if I mess with this one, there's some sulfur, some liquid sulfur waiting for me. And I'll tell you what the enemy will do with that heavy anointing. He'll say, I can't mess with this. I can't deal with this. I can't handle this. And just as assuredly as that happens, when the shepherd anoints that head with oil, that sheep now is oblivious to the attack of the enemy. He now has a t-shirt that says, not today, Satan. That sheep now is built to be in the Word of God and to know the voice of his master and to have been doctored by the great physician himself, and that great shepherd has anointed his head. And when the enemy comes buzzing by, he says, not today, Satan, and the enemy turns tail and flies off. He's looking for another likely target. But may you and I, everyone in this room, everyone that's under the sound of my voice, may we become impervious to the attack of the enemy, to Beelzebul, to the Lord of the flies, that he can't even find a landing zone nearby. Amen? Amen. If you want that to be, why don't you just lift your hand right where you are. Lord, do that to me. Lay on that heavy anointing. We're going to pray in just a minute as we close. And we're bringing it in for a landing. But it's not a fly coming in for a landing. Let me tell you what anointed sheep do. Sheep that have been doctored by the great shepherd respond immediately with peace and contentment and go back to enjoying their pasture. They're not worried about the flies anymore. They're focused on the water and the grass. And they're focused on being in this tabletop, mountaintop experience with their great shepherd. So here's the lesson for us. The enemy uses small distractions and irritations to seed bigger problems into our life. How many of you ever seen mountains be made out of molehills? How many of you seen conflict come between people and it started over the smallest thing? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that churches across this land have been split right down the middle over the dumbest, stupidest things. They can't even tell you today what it was, but I'll tell you what it was. The enemy sent a phalanx of flies in, and he began to plant into the ears of people who were not anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they turned away from the Word, they turned away from their time with the Lord, they turned away from their side, they thought they were self-sufficient, and they let that get into an earworm. They let that get inside of them, it began to dwell in their brain, and they got a thought in their head, and they would not shake it. And they walk around like mad people, banging their head on a stump. And next thing you know, there's 10 sheep joining them. And the whole church splits. Why? Because Beelzebub got in there. That's not to say that church divisions and planting new churches, that every one of them is a result of the attack of the enemy. But I'm here to tell you, I've seen those that have been. And it's the little things. It's the little thoughts that bring bigger problems. Opinions and reports can get inside our head and cause problems. I can't believe the pastor said that. Boy, I could tell you a story from my own experience as a pastor, but I don't have time, so I'm going to go on. So here's the lesson for us. My cup overflows. Hello? My cup overflows. What does that mean? He pours and keeps pouring. God is not stingy. We do not serve a stingy God. He's not looking for a cutoff point. He's saying, tell me when. And I'll tell you what, if you'll go get more cups, he'll keep pouring. If you'll stick around and get more cups and more vessels, if you'll stretch out your ability to take in, I'll tell you what God will do. He keeps pouring. He's got more than you can contain, and he loves to pour out a blessing that no man can contain. He loves to bless, shaken together, running over. He loves to pour his goodness. He loves to pour his resources. So that means I am welcome to the resources indefinitely. Think about that. Indefinitely, I'm welcome to the resources. That means today, tomorrow, That means the next day. That means at 3 in the morning. That means 24/7, 365. No matter where you are, what circumstances, where you are on the earth, it doesn't matter. You have resources available to you. The great shepherd is there. You cannot leave his presence. And there is an availability of great provision for us. So, I want to close with this. If you'd stand to your feet. Because I want to pray over you before we go. Repeated anointings and fresh anointings are needed in order to keep us pest-free. Some of us said, you know, I was anointed by the shepherd in 1958, and oh, the glory I felt. Okay, when was the last time he anointed you? 1958. Sister, brother, you need a fresh anointing. Because there is an unlimited anointing that the shepherd has for you, and if you'll just sidle up close to him, and say, could you just pour some of that oil on me? The enemy's just been buzzing around my head, and I've been concerned about some stuff going on in my life. There's some small thoughts that are trying to get on the middle of my heart, and the Lord of the flies is trying to lay some eggs and trying to create some issues, and I have some fears. I have some other things that are weighing on me. I'll tell you what you need. You need a fresh touch of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to settle in upon your life. You just need to get right up close to the side of the Master. And let him anoint your head with oil. So I want to pray that over you especially. Right where you're standing right now. If you say, Pastor, I just need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit on me. I want you to raise your hand right where you're standing. How many know it won't take long for us to do a negotiation with the great shepherd? He's eager to hear this. He has plenty for you. Don't say, oh, no, Master, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to trouble you. You're no trouble at all. I go daily to him and say, could you dunk some more of that oil on me? Because I don't even want to have a fly get within 10 miles of me. I want them to go, oh, man, there's that sulfur and that oil and those spices again that speak of the anointing of God that's defended this man. I don't even want to be 10 miles close to him. I want demons to scatter and run. I don't want them to sidle up close. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. So as you raise up your hands right now, Lord, we just come as the sheep of your pasture this day. Those that are at home watching on their couch or in their chair, they can just stretch up a hand to you and say, Lord, you're the great shepherd and you anoint my head with oil. There's some cures that I need. There's some stuff that the enemy's been whispering to me. There's some stuff going on. I need some relief from it. There's some stuff that could really come into my life if I become fearful. There's some things that are really causing me to be troubled in my spirit. There's some small things, but if I let them alone, they're going to burrow in, dig in, and become a problem. So Lord Jesus, you are the great shepherd. We come to you and we thank you that your Holy Spirit is full and free, that he is with us here today. That we cannot leave your presence. The enemy tries to tell us we regularly leave your presence. But here you are with all this fullness and all this blessing and all this presence. And we come just as we are, as the sheep of your pasture. And we say, Lord, anoint my head with oil. Anoint my head with oil. Anoint my ears with oil. And now anoint my spirit with oil. Just pour a fresh anointing upon me. Call me in close. Pull me in close to you. And let this pouring out move on through the day and into Monday in my devotions. And into Tuesday with my devotions. And Wednesday with my devotions. Let me find that place with you where the anointing of the Holy Spirit just fully covers me. Mats down my fur, comes down across my beard, stains my clothes, and marks me as yours and defended against every plot and every strategy of the enemy. My cup overflows. You've prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Lord, we receive that. We ask for that. We come in close. We draw in close, Lord, where you can dump that anointing upon us. And we come to you in Jesus' name and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Enjoy this walk towards your mountaintop. Amen. The Lord bless you as you go. We like to open up this area up front. If you'd like to just kind of come and find a private place to pray. We just want to have some worship music playing. Those of you that are still in the sanctuary, if you keep your voices low or take your conversations to the foyer, the Lord bless you. Have a great week. We love you. We're glad you're here. And if you'd like to come pray, you can find a place up here to pray and open your heart to the Lord.